The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 40 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And only for the month of January, earn up to $550 extra when you sell with The RealReal. That's right, up to $550 extra. Go to TheRealReal.com to get started. Earn up to $550 extra this month at TheRealReal.com. Terms apply.
Welcome to the Ladies of Liverpool podcast.
Everything Liverpool.
Everything for ladies.
Ladies of Liverpool.
With Leanne Campbell.
Welcome back, everyone. Once again, it's Ladies of Liverpool. And you know me, if I speak to a lady who's found out a way of earning money and doing something a little bit different, I'll always get them on the podcast. So this lady today has stepped outside of a comfort zone and decided to become an author. She's gone from owning a performing arts school in Dubai to being a glorified author. How does that even happen? She's turned her world upside down during lockdown as well, just to add a little bit of drama to the situation. She's a Scouser. She trains at Lipper. You're going to love her. It's Hayley Doyle.
Ladies of Liverpool.
Everything Liverpool.
Everything for ladies.
Hello.
Hello there, Hayley Doyle. Where are you and what are you doing right now?
Yeah. So I'm just in my living room, just figuring out what to do with Skype because I thought I knew what to do and I clearly don't.
Well, isn't
you have this every
joy?
Week with everyone. Do you just like
absolutely
always just like,
ugh. Yes. And every single guest I have goes, I use Skype all the time. It's no problem. But somehow we always end up in a back and forth on messages going, have you logged in? Have you used my login details? Have you not? Well, we've got you loud and clear and we're dying to know your story, Hayley. You've moved from Liverpool, haven't you, at the moment? You're not actually living in Liverpool.
No, I'm actually living in London at the moment. Yeah. Okay. So, you know, I've booked so many Airbnbs in the past 12 months, like on near Crosby Beach, and I had to cancel them all. Every time the rules like ease, I book something and then I've had to cancel and I can't wait to get home.
You must be desperate to see your family and friends. You've got two little ones too. So how are you managing to juggle launch and books and raising two kids during lockdown?
Well, you know, it hasn't been easy. I don't think it's been easy for anyone. So we don't even need to go there, do we? But, you know, my little boy, he's in reception. So he's back at school now and he's just so happy. Like it's just, he's just a different child. Just like he's actually, when I pick him up from school, he tells me what he's done. And you know, you know, my like kids just like nothing, what do you have for your lunch? Nothing.
Yeah.
You know, now I pick him up and he's like, I had jack and potato today with beans. And I'm like, oh my God, he's just so excited. He's telling me stuff.
I have a little running joke with my kids where I'll go, right, tomorrow, shall I not do the radio? And I'll tell your dad I'm taking you to school because Jay obviously does the school run with me doing the Brekkie show. And I'll go, I'll take you to school, but I'll say I've had a flat tyre and it was just outside Mackie's, and we'll go to Mackie's and I'll take you into school, please.
Amazing.
And usually the kids are like, yeah, let's do that. And we would never do it, but we do joke about it. I said it yesterday, and Joseph was like, no, we can't do that. It's sports day tomorrow. No, I can't. They just, they've found this new love for school, haven't they?
They have. They are just absolutely buzzing. But my little girl's only, she's only like 1.5. So she actually believes that the whole world is just our flat and the park across the road. And she's so happy. It's like ignorance is bliss with my little girl. Yeah,
that's
she's
so
brilliant.
Cute. So you're used to being around kids because your journey is, and again, this is why you're here on the podcast, your journey's just so different to what a lot of people can relate to. But there are little snippets in there that we can all cling on to as well. So let's start from, you've finished at Lipper, you've done your training, you're a backing singer for Michael Ball. What happened next?
So I moved to London after I graduated from Lipper. You know, we do the whole drama school thing, and you do that thing where you get this big house share in London and you think that, you know, student life's just going to continue, and it doesn't. Mm-hmm. And London hit you in the face. And I just, you know, I started auditioning, and and I got into Mamma Mia. So, you know, I had like a few little acting jobs before then. Like I did a panto with Brian Blessed and all stuff like that. Yeah. But my big sort of break was Mamma Mia in the West End. And I did that for over a year. It was amazing. But, you know, it was during that's when I started writing. You know, being on stage 8 shows a week for more than a year, the same show. It was amazing in so many ways. And I look back and it's just what an experience. When I was living it and doing it every day, it was just Groundhog Day. You know, especially of a weekend, you had 2 shows on a Friday, 2 shows on a Saturday. Mm. I mean, you know, you get to Sunday and then it just went in a blip and you're back doing it again on Monday. So I actually started writing as a bit of a creative outlet for myself. And I just started getting kind of more joy out of that than the sort of applause from being on stage.
Well, I've never done a long run. I've done little tours and things where, you know, you do start getting that feeling. But even with panto, and for years, like, you go, you know, you've got this 6-week block or whatever it is to do the panto. I'm not joking, Hayley. I get to like show 3 and I'm in the finale thinking about what I'm going to have out the chippy on my way home.
Oh,
and you've
definitely.
Just totally, you've peaked, haven't you? I don't know whether it's
totally
an age
peaked.
Thing.
It's tough, but you know, I look back and go, it was brilliant.
Of course,
you know,
time.
You're talking about panto as well, though. Panto, don't you sometimes do like 3 or 4 shows a day?
You know, so you're halfway through the second show and you're looking at your costume to go, right, what bit of the show is this? You're looking for props to give you a clue. But you're like, I've defo done this twice already. Is this the 3rd time or the 4th time? You have got a clue. You're all just, you have that gaze where you look at each other and you see the panic in the other person's eyes, don't you? And they're like, I haven't got a clue what happens next
from
to you.
No sleep. Do you know what? When I did Peter Pan, I was Tiger Lily, and you know, I had to come up on this massive big sort of boulder rock with like a sword in my hand or something. And we did so many shows that I used to have a little sleep behind this rock because I had to go behind the rock, say 20 minutes or sort of 15 minutes before I actually went on stage, you know, for the set changes. And I used to have like, because, you know, we're doing 3 shows a day and then we're obviously partying in the night. That's what you do in panto, isn't it? Well, before you have kids. And I'd have like a little sleep before. Or like I'd stand up there with me knife, Tiger Lily.
We've all done it though, haven't we? If only people knew what went on backstage at Panto's. Honestly, they'd want tickets to sit behind the scenes rather than out front.
That's a Netflix show right there, isn't it?
Isn't it just? Get right in that
Maybe I'll
one,
write
Hayley.
It.
Ladies of Liverpool. Everything Liverpool.
Everything for ladies. You go from the West End to Dubai. How does that happen?
It's very random. So I actually did a master's in writing in between that. And when I was doing my master's in writing, I was really like, I just loved it. I was dead excited about getting up and getting on the train and going to university. When I was getting auditions for stuff, I started thinking, you know, I'd actually rather go to uni than do this audition.
Wow.
And that's when I knew something had to change. And I was like, I'm going to have to like start looking for jobs. And I was like, hold on, how do you look for jobs as a writer? I've done it again. I've tried to be an actor where there's no work. Yeah. And now I want to be a writer where there's no work. So what am I going to do? And I was like, really always getting tempted back into the London audition scenes, and it wasn't making me happy. Yeah. So, you know, I'll cut a long story short, but I found I wanted to go abroad and I wanted to teach. I just wanted a new experience of life. You know, I felt a bit sort of stuck in a rut. I was newly single and I was just like, so I found this job teaching musical theatre in Dubai, and I met the woman who was British, and she had this company out there, and she was like, look, you know, I'm looking for British teachers, but, you know, you just see how it goes for a few months, and then, you know, you can go home if you don't like it. And I thought, right, I'll go out for 6 months. And I ended up staying for nearly 7 years.
Wow.
And I taught for this company for a while, but I actually then branched off and set up my own company. So I set up my own theatre school out there. And it really focused on writing plays with kids and mixing it with what I knew about musical theatre. So it was such a creative school. It was brilliant. And it was all after school stuff, you know. And yeah, we got to perform in all the big theatres in Dubai because the art scene was so small. I mean, it's clearly grown now and evolves all the time. I mean, Dubai is one of the most changing, constantly changing cities ever. I haven't been back for a few years. And I think if I went back for a holiday now, probably wouldn't recognise the place. But it was so good to be part of this evolving art scene out there. And I just wrote lots of plays with kids, you know, taught them what I knew about musicals and acting. And, you know, I became a voice on the radio out there. So
you did some presenting, yeah? What station did you broadcast on?
So Dubai Eye 103.8. It was brilliant.
Yes. Like,
got to go to the rugby sevens and the Dubai World Cup and the tennis. It was really weird. I interviewed this Michael Jackson lookalike at the tennis, and it was the most bizarre situation I've ever been. You must find it being a radio presenter yourself.
Yeah.
These situations that you're there with a mic to talk to someone, and you're just like, hold on.
Yeah, it's nuts. And you wish
on
one of your mates were there.
What I'm doing.
Yeah. There's always a mate you think, oh, I wish they were here. They buzz off this now. They absolutely love this. Well, how am I going to explain this? And is anyone going to believe me? That's the story of my life. I think some of the stories I've got to tell, I go, I should write a book. I should write a screenplay.
You
and
should.
Then I go, no one's going to believe it. It'd just be too far-fetched.
Yeah, they go, oh yeah, that would never happen. Well,
exactly.
It does. It really does.
Exactly. So what made you come home from Dubai? Because that, to me, and I've got a thing for travel. That is my love.
Yeah.
I think if you've got an opportunity there to run your own business, your own time scale, you're the boss in Dubai, in the sunshine. What brought you home, Hayley?
Well, you're asking me that now. My answer now, right now, at this time, I don't know. I don't know why I came home.
Bad time.
I'm like stuck in England going, what? Standing in a freezing cold park all over Christmas with my kids going, oh my God, why did we move from Dubai? But you know what? I mean, the reality is when you're in Dubai, you know, you can't be there forever. You know, you can't, not that I'm thinking of retiring anytime soon. I'm too young, but you can't. Obviously, people do live out there and they want to be there long term, but you can't really be there forever. And me and my husband, you know, we'd only been married a year when we moved back, but we did say, you know, we got married, we wanted to start a family. And I was just like, you know what? I think if we get pregnant, that's probably the time to move home. And that's what happened. Yeah, that was me cue. And I just thought as well, because of the nature of my work, you know, my theatre school was after school, but I wouldn't get home till like 9-10 o'clock at night, you know, because I'm doing everything myself. It was my own company. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that meant, you know, if I had a baby, I'm going to start missing out on the bedtimes and all that kind of stuff. So it just felt naturally like the right time to move back.
Fantastic.
And I kept the company running for a while, but it just fizzled out without me being there. But it did run for a couple of years without me there. Yeah.
Well, listen, if you want me to leg it over there and just relaunch it for you, and I'll keep it ticking over for you, love, till
oh my
you get
God,
yourself
let's
back
do it together. I'll be there with you.
Ladies of Liverpool. So let me tell you the story. So a girl I know starts telling me about this phrase, and you might know about this, or you might be able to tell me if it's an absolute urban legend. Have you ever heard of, I think it's called, is it potty portal? Porty potty?
What?
So, you see a lot of these glamorous girls who live out in Dubai.
Yeah.
And you do wonder, how do they live that lovely life when it doesn't seem like they've got a job?
Yeah.
And if you Google it, apparently it means that they do like fetishy things over there, but it's really well known over there. You get contacted on Instagram, you get a little slide DM, and they say, come over, I'll pay your flight, I'll pay your upkeep, but you've got to do X, Y, and Z with me at a party.
Do you know what?
Now,
I have absolutely no idea. And I swear to God, I'm like the most open book ever. Yeah, I would tell you if I knew. I've never heard about this.
No. Or maybe it wasn't going on.
But I'm totally going to be Googling it for the rest of the day.
I'll send you the link. I might even put it on a little swipe up on my Instagram later on for everyone to have a nosy.
Wow. Because you know what? There's so many myths about Dubai and everything. And, you know, I mean, you know, everyone always says, you know, like, well, but you can't like drink over there. I mean, things like that.
That's not true.
Well, you can only drink in the hotel bars. But the thing is, there's hotels everywhere. You know, oh, you can't really like find love over there. Well, I found my husband over there. You can't, you know, it's all, you know, all this kind of stuff. But yeah, that one though. Wow.
I'll send you the link. I'll see what you think.
Yeah, please do.
Ladies of Liverpool.
So next up, I want to chat to you about your book, obviously. So your first one, I read in the first lockdown. So was it right you got your book deal all sorted when you found out you were pregnant?
I wrote Never Saw You Coming before I got the book deal, because that's kind of what you've got to do. You've got to sort of write, and then, you know, your agent then tries to sell to publishing houses. And it's not the first book I'd ever written, actually. I've written three before this one got published. Yeah. It's just kind of, you know, you speak to a lot of authors and it's a very similar journey. It's very unusual for their first book that everyone knows about to have actually been the first book that they wrote. And I'm glad, because writing's very, very personal. Even if you write about something that's, you know, completely different to your own life, it's still soul searching. You're still getting a lot of yourself out there in your words. And I'm glad I kind of got a lot out of my system before I wrote Never Saw You Coming. I wrote it when my little boy was a baby, just like sort of in, you know, I actually don't even know how I wrote it now. I think it was when he must have started nursery 1 or 2 days a week, and then around freelance work I started doing that. But anyway, I got the deal from that one, and then I found out I was pregnant with my daughter, and it was a two book deal. So it was like, you've got to write another book over the next year. And I just found out.
So make a baby, create life, keep the other one alive, and also write two books. Well, that's fun.
Oh, honestly, you know what? And now, like, I sort of took a step back, the books are out there, and I'm like, oh, they're out there now. I kind of wish, you know, as a woman, I wish I'd had the confidence to say to the publishing house, I'm totally going to take this deal, but my second book, can you put it on hold for a year and then I'll write it? But I just, you know what, you kind of, these opportunities come along and you just go, okay. And you know, it's only now, I was chatting to another friend of mine for you know, the hashtag Choose to Challenge for International Women's Day. And we were talking about things like that, and how, you know, as women we just feel like we've got to say yes to everything. And something's got to change with that, I think. You know, there's got to be some kind of, I don't know, we need to find the confidence. And I think, you know, the workplace needs to give us the confidence to actually be able to say, I can't do this right now, but I will do it for you. But I was so scared that if I said no, or I, you know, if I asked for these, it would sound like I was being demanding, and I don't, that we, no one should feel like that. But you know,
you're talking to the right person here. I know, listen, I'm all ears. I left a job of 15 years because I had the audacity to have a second baby. Do you know what I mean? It's one of those where you live and learn, and you look back at your journey and you
think,
why did those things happen? Why didn't I do X, Y, and Z? But you know what, Hayley? I think when you're pregnant, you lose your armour to some point. I don't know whether it's a swelling belly or what. You lose your armour, and it's not till a good while after you've given birth that you start replacing the armour with harder armour. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
Because you've got extra armour to protect your kids. And you're like, why didn't I do this? Or why didn't I say that? Or why didn't I fight harder? And the fact is, you're more vulnerable. And it's down to your management. It's down to your company you're working for, or the people around you, to protect you, to not make you fight for things. Oh, we are. I'm on my soapbox now, girl.
But it's true. And you know, and it's definitely a change that does need to happen. I kind of think, you know, when my daughter was, you know, she was a newborn, and, you know, every time she'd sleep, and, you know, this is back when we could go to coffee shops, oh, those days. And I'd, you know, take her to my local coffee shop and she'd be in the pram and I'd be rocking her with one hand to keep her asleep and typing sentences with the other. I mean, that's bonkers. But yeah, I I've got all this stuff to prove. You know, I've got to get this book out and the second album thing. The second book's got to be better than the first.
Yes.
And, you know, I don't know how I did it, but I did. And the books are out there now. And I'm really, I am really
so
proud
well,
of them.
Hayley, so, aren't they? You should be. They're amazing. First one, I loved every second of it. I couldn't put it down. And that's coming from someone who doesn't read. I haven't sat down with a book for so long, but obviously because it was you, I was like, I've got to read it. I've got to tell her, you know, I think it's amazing. But I actually did think it was amazing. So I couldn't wait for the second one.
It's such a compliment when you say that. You know, I actually like when people say I don't read that much, but I loved it because that's kind of what I want to write. I want to write books that just, you know, that aren't going to just overwhelm people, because reading can be really overwhelming. I mean, I'm a big reader, obviously. You can't be a writer without being a big reader. Yeah. But I'll tell you what, I struggle with reading as well, especially with the whole what's going on in the world. Our heads are all over the place.
Yeah.
The only time I've got to read is before I go to bed. And the last thing I want to do when I get into bed is stay awake longer.
I know.
You know, when you've got kids and your head's all over the place thinking what's going on with the world. So I've always wanted to write books that don't overwhelm people. You know, they might make you think in some ways, but that you just enjoy, that you can fall in love with characters and then just like go on a little journey with them.
Never Saw It Coming for me was real escapism. It was written in my accent, so obviously I could really warm to the characters, you know, all the name, the places, the localisms that you put in there. For the likes of us Scouse girls, us ladies of Liverpool, it was just a joy, just turning every chapter. It was almost like you knew the characters, you could relate
to
them.
Well, that's
so much,
what
so
I wanted. And I just don't feel like, especially in literature, that Scousers are represented enough. You know, everywhere you go in the world, you bump into a Scouser. So why? Yeah.
And they're always way off. They write the Scouse language
so
the way we'd never say it. You know, they write Scouse and you're like, what are they trying to say there?
It's like when they cast non-Scousers on the telly and you're like, the whole of Liverpool's going, why? Yeah.
We don't
talk like that.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, but I know exactly what you mean. But with yours, it's just jam-packed with authenticity. That's every little drop of you is in that book. And maybe it's because I don't know, but it's just gorgeous. So if you haven't already got your copy, how do people get their hands on it, Hayley?
So you can get either the books Never Saw You Coming or Love Almost. You can get them on Amazon and on Waterstones online, but you can also go to your local book independent bookshops and they'll order it in for you. So especially like in Liverpool, places like Pritchard's in Crosby and Right Blend in Waterloo have been amazing supporters, and they are so good at championing local writers as well. And, you know, bless them, they haven't been able to open their doors for so long. But, you know, so you can go to them, they'll order it for you, or, you know, if you want to get it quick, or on ebook or audiobook, it's all online, dead easy to find.
I'm going to put the link in my bio now on my pages and stuff, so head to my socials and you'll get a link that'll take you straight to it. And I think sometimes you log on and there's great offers that they're up for like £1 or something like that, aren't they?
Yeah, you can definitely, because at the moment my ebook's only £2.99, but in February it was only 99p, and that deal will probably come back in the summer, hopefully. I've like put in for a deal for the summer as well.
It's worth every penny. You'll read it twice, so you'll enjoy every second of it. Links available on my socials. Find Hayley Doyle on socials as well. And thanks so much for chatting to us, Hayley.
Oh, that was great. Thank you so much, Leanne.
Thanks for listening.
Subscribe now
via the iTunes Store.
Hear more from the Ladies of Liverpool
via ladiesofliverpool.com.
This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 40 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. That's the sound of your closet working for you. The Real Real. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And only for the month of January, earn up to $550 extra when you sell with The Real Real. That's right, up to $550 extra. Go to TheRealReal.com to get started. Earn up to $550 extra this month at TheRealReal.com. Terms apply.